U.S. workers today have serious momentum and leverage.
Our people are engaged like never before.
The power of workers in 2024 and how one union leader wants to wield it.
Workers are saying, we've got to be a part of a larger movement. We can't do this on our own. We've got to take advantage of this moment.
I'm Nyla Boodoo from Axios. This is One Big Thing. ''2023 was a year of walkouts. The actual number of strikes only went up a bit, but as Axios's Emily Pack reports, the number of U.S. workers on strike more than doubled last year.
So this was mainly due to four big strikes in different industries. There was healthcare with the Kaiser Permanente workers, manufacturing, those the UAW workers, the United Auto Workers, media, the Hollywood strikes of actors and writers, and in education, there was a big strike in Los Angeles of school workers. Those four strikes alone involved a total of 350,100 workers, and that's out of a little over 500,000, so a big chunk.
The top three demands from striking workers? Better pay, improved health and safety, and increased staffing. And now,
2024 is just a moment of really peak leverage for unions in this country. They're flexing their muscles in various ways across a range of industries, but perhaps the best example right now is the United Steelworkers. They're trying to crush a $15 billion deal where U.S. Steel would be bought, U.S. Steel, an iconic American company, would be bought by Japan-based Nippon Steel. And the steelworkers may succeed. Both Biden and Trump are courting their votes. And in the case of the steelworkers, they're representing folks who are in key battleground states like Pennsylvania and Michigan. And the steelworkers really, they have the administration's ear. Last month, they put out a statement saying, you know, Joe Biden has our backs. They're also meeting with lawmakers on this. Donald Trump has come out against the steel also. Their sell to lawmakers is that this deal is a threat to national security. But between the lines, you know, the union likely thinks this deal isn't going to be great for their members. Now, the union met with the Japanese company last week, but they put out a statement saying, you know, this meeting went nowhere and they haven't shifted their position yet. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen to this deal. It has to go through a national security review. The whole process is sort of murky. The bottom line is now is a really good time for labor to make its demands known. As both Democrats and Republicans are courting their votes, public opinion of unions right now is pretty high. And the backdrop to all of that is we're in still a very tight labor market where workers in and out of unions have more leverage than I think we've been used to historically.
That's Axios's Emily Peck.
Across the labor movement, you've had a number of strikes with people standing up and saying they aren't going to take it anymore. They want better wages. They want better benefits. They want to have that seat at the table.
Lee Saunders is the president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, or AFSCME.
We represent 1.4 million public service workers all across the country. Any public service job that you can imagine, we have titles within our membership, whether it's a sanitation worker, whether it's a nurse, whether it's a highway worker, a correction officer, social worker, case worker.
Many of you, our listeners, have told us you are union members interested in what this year will bring for workers. So we asked you what you want out of the next president when it comes to labor. We'll share some of those responses later in the show. But first, I asked AFSCME President Lee Saunders how he hopes to keep up the momentum of workers now and what he wants to see from U.S. political leadership in 2024. Lee, welcome to One Big Thing.
I'm glad to be on the show.
When we look back to last year, we saw more strikes and more unions taking up issues of pay and condition with employers. What did last year look like for your AFSCME members?
They've got a lot of energy. Our people are engaged like never before. So you're having that kind of activism that's spreading across the country. The most recent Gallup poll showed that 67% of the American public believed that unions were absolutely necessary in this society. If you look at it further, 88%, according to an AFL-CIO poll, shows that young people, which is extremely important because we've really got to organize younger people, 88% of young people believe that unions are absolutely necessary. So we've got to take advantage of that opportunity. We've got to talk with people and listen to what they've got to say and then urge them to organize so they can have that seat at the table. And we are, meaning AFSCME, because we're organizing all over the country. We continue to organize in the public sector. We're organizing in the cultural setting, meaning museums and zoos and libraries. We're organizing in states where we have just gotten collective bargaining or they passed legislation to enable us to organize. That includes Colorado and Nevada. Interestingly enough, even in the Deep South, in New Orleans, where we've just organized 3,000 city workers, and they have the ability now to sit down at the table and bargain. So we're taking advantage of this environment, and so are other unions taking the advantage.
Your Teamster labor colleagues are donating to both the Republican and Democratic parties this year. It's the first time Teamsters have given a major donation to the RNC in years. Do you feel like the Democratic Party has in any way let your members down?
Oh, you're always going to have disagreements. But for the most part, I think that President Biden has done the right thing. And it's up to us to talk about the things that he has been able to do. The infrastructure bill, where it enables a lot of people to go to work, getting good paying union jobs and benefits. So we've got to talk about his successes, but understanding that there's still a lot of concern about the economy. We're still working on this. We haven't gotten everything that we've needed. But we're continued to work on it. And then let's pay attention to the people that are stopping us from moving ahead and having more for your family and more for you and your communities across the country. And if you make that clear delineation, then people get it and they understand it.
You know, Lee, your members are also in many cases on the front lines of the deep political divisions and conflicts that we've seen in this country. People who work in school districts and teachers or other public servants. And I wonder if you worry about their physical safety or mental health and how you're approaching that.
Sure we do. I mean, we're concerned. They're overwhelmed on the job. They are working many, many hours of overtime because of the understaffing problem that exists, especially in the public sector, but it also exists in other industries across the country. And that's why it was so important that we establish a program within our union called Staff the Front Lines, because we had millions of jobs that were going unfilled because of the pandemic, because of a variety of other reasons. And that put an additional burden on those who are committed every single day to public service and are working very hard every single day, but not having the support and help that they really need by having those additional bodies that will be working next to them. So we've developed a program and we're working with employers all across the country, with governors and mayors, school boards, state legislators, about the need to staff the front lines. And we're doing job fairs, working closely with the employer. We had a bus tour visiting 17 sites across the country, and I traveled to many of those cities. I'll give you an example in New York City where they had 18 job fairs in the different boroughs in New York City. And they averaged more than 1,000 people coming to those job fairs because they were looking for jobs. We've got to promote those jobs. We've got to talk about the importance of public services, the fact that public service jobs, especially if those jobs are in a union environment, provide good wages and good benefits and can provide for your family. And then we've got to limit some of the red tape as far as hiring public sector workers. You've got the civil service system. Some of those things need to be changed. They've been around forever. And we need to be smart about making it easier to hire folks. We've got to visit high schools and develop apprenticeship programs, just as the private sector has done for so many years, to attract young people.
So the pandemic was maybe the first time in modern American history that we saw an acknowledgement of the work of essential workers and maybe more of a cultural shift to understanding the worth of public service. How do you get that message across now?
It's our members. It's not me. It's the folks who are providing those services every single day to talk about what they do, the importance of what they do and the impact that it has on their communities across the country, but also the challenges that confront them, but their commitment to public service. And our members get it, but we've got to work on the public to say, don't take these folks for granted. Don't take for granted that your trash is being picked up once or twice a week. or that somebody is taking care of your child, or someone is taking care of your grandmother or grandfather in a nursing home. Those are a lot of times public service workers doing that, fixing the highways, okay? Making sure that the water is clean. Those are public service jobs.
In a moment, more with AFSCME head Lee Saunders. This is One Big Thing from Axios. Welcome back to One Big Thing from Axios. I'm Nyla Boodoo. I've been bringing you my conversation with the head of one of the largest unions in America, Lee Saunders, on the heels of a remarkable year for workers in the U.S. and ahead of a major election. And we asked you, especially those of you who have union membership, to share what you want from our next president.
Hey, my name is Zach. I am a second-generation Teamster from Local 886 in Oklahoma City. We're looking for someone who is going to care about our issues. Joe Biden came and walked on a picket line with us during the UAW strike, and Donald Trump went to a non-union plant to hang out with management. I would like to see Joe Biden come out swinging for the PRO Act more forcefully. And I know that Donald Trump is trying to get the Teamster vote. It's no secret that there are Trump supporters in the Teamsters. If he wants to reach those people, he can start talking about the PRO Act and get his people behind the PRO Act too.
Hi, Nyla. My name is John Anderson. I'm a Teamster in Oregon Local 483. What I would love to see from the next administration is for there to be assistance for workers that want to unionize, especially at companies that has actively blocked unionization.
This is Sherry. I am in a union and have been for years. I think the biggest issue is that not all unions are equal. Some of them can be amazing and offer a lot of support to the labor force, and then others just plain suck. I want the president to somehow equalize all unions so that they all operate similarly and offer the same positives and strengths to their union members.
Thanks for sharing, and you can keep sending your thoughts. Text me at 202-918-4893. Now back to more with AFSCME President Lee Saunders. What would be your top priority, the thing you most need from the next president of the United States?
A level playing field for working families, and that would mean, and the president can't deliver all of it. I mean, you've got to deal with the Senate, you've got to deal with the House. I think that in order for unions to continue to grow and be successful, and people want to organize, make no mistake about it, but we need a change in federal law. We need the PRO Act adopted, where it levels a playing field to enable private sector workers to have a fair shot in not only organizing and deciding to join a union, but also having the ability to get that first contract. So many times, and if you look at Amazon, for example, where we had that victory in New York, they haven't even sat at the table in a serious kind of way because the laws do not permit us to move on and to enable workers to represent themselves through their union and have that seat at the table. So the PRO Act has got to be a priority for us. And even though we know that we can't pass it with the current makeup in the House, and I think we could pass it in the Senate, but it would never pass the House right now, we've got to continue to make the kinds of political changes within those bodies that would support having a stronger worker voice in this country. In the public sector, we are not covered under the National Labor Relations Act in the public sector. We have to have laws, individual laws, either by state or by city or by county, in order to be able to bargain. We're pushing for what's called the Public Service Freedom to Negotiate Act, which would do the same thing at the national level that the PRO Act would do for private sector workers. So we've got to concentrate on changing labor law in this country, because if we aren't successful in doing that, then we won't be able to tear down that wall that exists, because it's such a thick wall where employers can take advantage of current law to dissuade people from being able to come to a successful contract conclusion.
I just want to ask how that squares against the political reality of what we see in Congress now when it comes to action and movement for achieving any laws.
Well, right now we can't do it. And I'm not going to lie about it because of the makeup of the Congress. And that's why it's so important that when we talk to our members, we talk about these kinds of things, and we've got to try to flip it. And we just can't say it's never going to get done or it's not going to get done in our lifetime, so we just got to drop it. This has got to be continue to be a priority. If you have 67% of the American public thinking that unions are absolutely necessary, 88% of young people thinking so, then we have got to keep the heat on these elected officials. And if they don't want to provide that power that is necessary for workers to have, then we've got to make some changes. And that's exactly what we do during the political process.
I do think what you often hear when you talk to people who want to limit the power of unions is that they feel that many unions protect workers who aren't doing their job. I feel like that's a very common sentiment you will hear from people. What's your response to that?
We have an obligation to protect the jobs of members. We have an obligation to represent them. I'm not saying that every worker is perfect. I'm not saying that every worker doesn't make mistakes, but we as a union have an obligation. But that's a very small portion of our obligation. The major portion of our obligation is to negotiate good contracts, to negotiate good benefits, to negotiate good wages, to negotiate safety and health provisions when folks are working on the job. And that's what we do. That's why workers see that. And they say, we want to be a part of this because we need that kind of protection. And we could never get it on an individual basis. The only way you get it is through collective action.
What is your message this election year as we're thinking not just about electing a president, but electing local and state leaders, about how you connect the dots between everything we've been talking about and voting?
I will never knock on a door and I will never talk to a member and say, this is how you should vote. If we're talking about politics, for example, I will never say that. Voting is a very personal decision. What I urge folks to do is to take advantage of the fact that you have the right to vote, but be educated about who you're voting for. And here are the facts. We don't talk about politics initially, because politics sometimes turns people off. But we talk about their working conditions. We talk about their contract. We talk about what's happening with them on the job. And then we slowly, once we develop that relationship, we start talking about the fact that politics is intertwined in what we do and who we are and the benefits that we receive and the movement forward rather than going backwards. And we've got to take serious consideration over all of those kinds of things. When you engage those conversations in that kind of way, you'll still have disagreement. Make no mistake about it. I mean, our members, 1.4 million members, we have Democrats, we have Republicans, we have conservatives, we have progressives, you name it, we've got it. But one thing that they can relate to is what's happening to them on the job. And that's what we've got to focus in on so they understand it. And then let them, after those conversations and listening to what they have to say and urging them to vote, don't throw your vote away, then let them make their decision.
Lee Saunders represents some 1.4 million public service workers as president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. Lee, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
One last thing before we go. Given the strikes of 2023 and the momentum Lee talks about heading into 2024, could we see the same level of walkouts and industry disruptions this year? Axios's Emily Peck told me that remains to be seen. But as of now, we've had slightly fewer labor actions than at this time last year. One thing we're watching, once again in Hollywood. Contract negotiations pick back up next week for crew unions looking for higher wages, more job security, and better working conditions. Their contracts are set to expire July 31st. And that's it for this week's edition of One Big Thing. The One Big Thing team includes supervising producer Alexandra Boti and sound engineer Jake Howitt. Alex Sugiyara composed our theme music. Asia Whitaker Moore is Axios' executive editor, and Sarah Kehlani Gu is Axios' editor-in-chief. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you back here next Thursday.